World Cup, World Cup. Every 4 years it's the World Cup, World Cup. If you don't pick up a grunt straight in the build-up, then we'll love it when you score a goal.
Ooh, did you see that?
World Cup, World Cup. It might all end in tears or a headbutt. You can follow all the blogging on your laptop. From Slovenia to Slovakia, from Nigeria to the Cote d'Ivoire.
Ooh, Cote d'Ivoire.
The Guardian and Observer, packed with World Cup coverage every day.
The Guardian.
This is Music Weekly.
With The Guardian at Glastonbury.
So welcome to Glastonbury Festival. They say life begins at 40, and the farms and fields of Pilton in Somerset are about to come alive with 3 days of music, cider, and, well, it says here, hopefully, son, the sun is already here, I'm pleased to tell you. I'll be here today, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, chewing over what the highs and lows are, or were, of a lineup that's topped by Gorillaz, Muse, and Stevie Wonder, but also includes Dizzy Rascal, Vampire Weekend, the Pet Shop Boys, LCD Sound System, Florence and the Machine, the Scissor Sisters, and the XX, to name but a few. Before the weekend is out, Music Weekly will be bringing you all manner of thrilling interviews, not just with bands, with the actual people who make the festival itself happen. Each day I'll be joined by the Guardian Music team, tipping the sets to catch, as well as reviewing the previous day's festival, and we'll have some live music each day too. So keep listening to your complete Glastonbury experience. I'm Alexis Petridis, and this is Music Weekly at Glastonbury from The Guardian. So I'm backstage, just to the side of the main runway that runs between the pyramid stage and the other stage, in the fancy Winnebago area, where last year I saw Nick Grimshaw. It's amazing. It's obviously the highlight of my festival. And a Geldof, I can't remember which one it was. I'm joined here, alas, not by Nick Grimshaw, but guardian.co.uk/musics, Rosie Swash and Tim Jones. How's it going? Is it all right? Are you having
very
fun?
Well. It's been great because the weather is amazing.
The weather is amazing. Have you both brought wellies?
Yes.
He said, like your mum. What were your sort of first impressions when you got on site? What do you think?
It seems a lot calmer than last year, and I think that might be because of the weather and people arriving a bit earlier. I don't know.
I think
a lot of people.
Yeah, I think a lot of people turned up yesterday. I think it's just because the weather's nice.
As Michael Eavis said, you are paying a lot of money for your ticket. Well, some people are, and if you are, you want to get your money's worth.
Yeah, sage wisdom. So this year's festival is the 40th anniversary of Glastonbury, which is not the same thing as it being the 40th festival, because it's obviously a long stretch of time when the festival didn't exist. I'm quite glad that Gorillaz are playing rather than U2. I'm going to have to come out and say it. I think they're going to be better than U2 would have been.
You think they're going to be better?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to enjoy them more. But there was part of me that really wanted to just see what U2 are like live, because I've never, ever...
Have you never
ever,
seen them?
Never, and I'm never going to.
I saw them once in Czechoslovakia, and the most memorable thing of the whole gig was I was stood in the... There was like a little VIP bit where you could watch the band, and somebody threw an inflated condom at Brian Eno. That's my lasting memory of U2 in Czechoslovakia.
How do you get it? That's hard to iron.
It just floated towards me. I had this beautiful purple suit on. And being Brian Eno, he just sort of batted it away. You know what I mean? It was amazing. We all thought it was hilarious. Tim, obviously last year was amazing in a different sense, in a sadder sense, because of the death of Michael Jackson.
Sadder in many ways. The fact that I'd just finished taping our schedule, which was planned to military position on the inside of our port cabin, and then had to rip it all back down again. So right, we're not doing any of that. No one's going to review Bjorn again.
Bjorn again, cruelly denied the oxygen of publicity. <That's good. laughs> for the nonsensical reason of the death of the most famous man in the world.
Yeah, it was. And it was quite touching on site. There's, you know, lots of people were crying and...
Were they?
Yeah, people. People were upset. People were very drunk, and people were.
There's a lot of people on drugs.
A lot of people on drugs.
Oh, Michael Jackson's dead.
Eyes massive, going, Michael Jackson's
died. I had to go out to those people and say, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but Michael Jackson's died, and I just want to know what you think of that. We were just backing away slowly with eyes like saucers, going, what?
Because of course there was that thing.
You basically ruined a lot of people's festival.
A friend of mine had to go and do Vox Pops, and she saw the astrologer Russell Grant. Yeah. And went up to him and went, what do you think about Michael Jackson dying? And quick as a flash, Russell Grant goes, well, moon's in Pisces, it's tricky time.
I mean, if you thought about it like that, it would have been bloody obvious. Yeah.
Where were you when you heard?
We just watched E17.
Wow. Did they announce it? Wouldn't that be amazing if you Brian
they did,
Harvey...
They didn't need to. The moon was in Pisces.
They're very astrological.
No, I got a call from Sarah Bowden, formerly of Observer Music Monthly, and she said something that I thought excitedly thought sounded like Michael Jackson has arrived. And I was like, Michael Jackson is on site. He's here. He's on site. And she said, no, he's died. And then we went to where they have a telly and watched it. And BBC News confirmed the sad news.
I was in bed when he died. Oh. Well, not when he died. I mean, I don't know what I was doing when he died. But I was awoken by my wife with a cup of tea and the words, Michael Jackson's dead. What have been... I mean, there's the obvious highlights that people talk about. The Smiths in 1984, Paul playing in 1995, Radiohead in 97, Jay-Z. Tim, we'll go to you first. What was your highlight?
I think, I was saying earlier, I had 3 years on the truck where it was basically the best weekend of my life. And I think
Why was it the best weekend of your life?
Well, I think the first time I was here, I was working for Enemy and I made loads of new friends from the Enemy and it was just how has this happened. One of them I got engaged, so obviously that's very exciting.
Fair enough.
And that was whilst watching Brian Wilson in the afternoon by the Pyramid stage, and the sun had come out for the first time on the weekend, and it was, you know, can you imagine anything better than, you know, someone playing Beach Boys songs with the sun out as you propose off your head and then say, oh, that ring that cost £3 and it's making your finger go green.
I love you.
And also it sounds like I'm not into new music at all, but another one that sticks in my mind is Paul McCartney when he played the Pyramid stage, which
that was amazing.
It was just so good. And
that was absolutely that was a truly truly great Glastonbury set. Rosie, what about you?
I think the one that was most exciting was probably Jay-Z, because I just think he did it so well.
Yeah, he was great.
But I wasn't, you know, by the end of it, I wasn't desperate for him to stay on and play anymore. I thought he's handled it brilliantly.
Yeah,
enough.
Get off.
But weirdly, and I don't even like them that much anymore, but I used to be really into the White Stripes. So it was 2005 that they played, so they headlined, and I just thought they were absolutely brilliant. I know that a lot of people thought it was quite bluesy, noodly.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Nonsense.
Actually,
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was just brilliant.
My best Glastonbury was probably the last Glastonbury, I think.
I've been, really?
Yeah.
2009.
2009. Neil Young is probably, well, probably not my favourite artist of all time, probably the Bee Gees. But Neil Young's up there in the Pantheon, and he was amazing. It was one of those, you know, he's quite sort of mercurial live, I think, Neil Young. I've seen him quite a lot. And it was just brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Amazing. And also there was a sense of this, you know, famously ornery, grumpy old man actually being a little bit overwhelmed by being at Glastonbury, and, you know, he sort of stayed on stage at the end and kind of saluted the guy. And it was just brilliant for that reason. I really, really, really...
And he played all the hits, which I appreciate.
Yeah, he even did Rocking in the Free World. Yeah, I mean, that's
did Rocking in the Free World for about 2.5 hours. Yeah, yeah, cool.
As is customary with almost all Neil Young songs. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's just finishing off now, actually.
Yeah, he's still on. but he did do all the hits, which is obviously how one tries at Glastonbury, I think. It's not rocket science, is it? It's pretty basic stuff.
It's basically a piece of it. Yeah. Play your famous songs
play
that people
like. Play the big tunes. Unless it's the worst situation is if you have one big tune. I went to go and see the Dandy Warhols, and the motion of people away from the Dandy Warhols stage, you couldn't get anywhere near it, and people were like, no, they've done the one off the advert. And that was, you know, their future was writ large. We have been out into the crowd, stuck a microphone in some listeners' mush, or several listeners' mushes, and ask them what they're looking forward to this year.
I'm Phoebe, and I'm from Devon.
And I'm Alana, and I'm from Devon. Last year when we were here on this Sunday night, Rum Shabin played at, what's it called, the Bimble Inn? And they were literally just random. I'm surprised I know the name. I'm hoping to catch them again, because they were mental. They were really good. They call it Punk Tropicana or something like that, but they're awesome.
Faithless, I can't wait. But Florence and the Machine, they should be really good. Last year they were good.
Yes, we packed our wellies because we have never had a dry Glastonbury.
Hi there, I'm Connor McLaughlin from Glasgow.
I'm Ashlyn Dylan from Glasgow.
Woo!
I'm really looking forward to seeing Stevie Wonder. I think it'll be a really good end to the festival and stuff.
The Gorillaz, hopefully they'll have a lot of cool special guests with them.
I'll actually die if Mick Jones is there.
It's our first Glastonbury and it's a lot bigger than we thought.
I have packed my wellies.
Of course we've packed our wellies, we've been to Tyne the Park before.
That's what Glastonbury has to say, but we want to know how you're enjoying things, whether you're here on site or at home listening and watching on the telly. Tweet us at Guardian Music, or one word. Give us your reviews and messages for the podcast. And thank you for the retweets. We'll get some of your tweets in the programme tomorrow. Now, Rosie.
Yes.
I was nearly run over by a man on a mobility scooter.
They go rather fast.
Yeah, and he was dicking about.
Hey, you know how I know how fast they can go from the old driving test theory? 30 miles per hour.
Is that really? Wow.
I might have got that wrong, actually.
I don't think it's Mirilda's skater that goes at 30, but amazing. No, he was dicking about. He took his hands off the thing. He nearly hit me. Who did you meet? Did you hear at the other stage? Anyway, another brilliant stuff. These anecdotes are flowing
no
my gold,
aren't they? No near-death experiences for me, but I have always imagined that being responsible for putting the band on the stages at Glastonbury might be much of a headache.
Yeah.
And I went to speak to Mick, and he has been putting the bands together on the other stage for 18 years.
Now, when you say putting bands together on the other stage, you mean he books the bands?
No, he doesn't book the bands. He's responsible for physically getting them on
getting
there.
Getting them on stage.
Sound checking all day.
Wow.
Let's hear what he has to say. Each year, when does your work start, so to speak? Like, when do you actually start having to plan?
It varies, actually. Some years I'm on site from the 1st of June. This year I've come on site a lot later, so I've only actually been here for about a week and a half. We start to do quite a lot of pre-production in the office, you know, a good sort of 2 or 3 months before the festival starts.
And what do you do for the rest of the year when you're not working on Glastonbury?
We do other concerts, other festivals. During the summer, we obviously, you know, we're involved with Tea in the Park and Reading, Rochester Castle concerts. And then during the winter, we tend to move indoors a little bit, so we end up doing fashion shows, all sorts, really.
What's the worst point for your stress levels of the weekend?
I think the stressiest part, well, we try not to stress at all up at other stage. We've got a really kind of calm, absolutely, yeah. So we try and adopt a really calm atmosphere up at other stage. I think really today and yesterday are the most stressful days. It's getting everything ready for showtime tomorrow morning. So
it's Wednesday, Thursday,
yeah. But because of the football, we've brought everything forward slightly this year. So we're actually ready a lot earlier this year. So the stress was all yesterday.
And what's been your highlight since you've been working on the other stage of the 13 years?
The highlight was meeting my idol, which was a guy called a folk guitarist called Richie Havens, and I had a lot of difficulty mixing my professional and my idolism for him, because it was meeting him as a professional but actually realising that I was meeting one of my gods. So yeah, that was a really good time. I had to get him from acoustic stage and bring him to other, because he was performing. And he was a really nice guy.
That's always the one when you meet the...
Oh, he was everything I thought he would be. And he even signed a laminate for me, which was completely unprofessional. But it just had to be done, because there was like, you know, it was one of those moments, you know.
And has there ever been a sort of catastrophic scene behind scenes, so to speak? You know, so a band member's voice goes or something like that, where you think it's not going to happen and then the last minute it all came together?
No, unfortunately, it's one of those things where if it doesn't come together, it's just not going to come together. We've had moments here where we've lost bands completely. We lost bands last year due to the weather. We had lightning strikes on the stage, and because of the severe weather, we actually ended up losing the first band, which I think is the first time that's happened at other stage.
Which band was it?
Oh, goodness. Of all the bands I do, there are a million bands I deal with every year. So, yeah, but it was the first band on the bill last year.
And the weather this year is going to be absolutely fantastic. So we can assume that no one will be held off site because of the rain.
No, absolutely. No, forecast is pretty good. And, I mean, obviously the weather like this brings its own problems. The dust particularly, and obviously heat for everyone working out all day, you know, because we're all working very long hours, and for the guys out watching the bands. So it brings its own logistical problems, as in, you know, getting water to people and equipment. You know, even equipment doesn't like the heat. I think we'd all prefer this to it being wet and rainy, because that just makes everything stop. But yeah, this is nice, and I think we're due for a really nice Glastonbury. You know, we've all had enough of the rain over the years, so it's
What are you most looking forward to this weekend
on the other stage? Actually, we've got a great lineup of bands. Actually, it's this year is really special, and my son is learning to play the guitar, and one of his favorite bands is Coheed and Cambria. So yeah, he's actually can't be here this year, so he's really jealous, but he's jealous that his dad's meeting a really hit band and he's not. So, yeah, I'm going to be a highlight meeting them, and I'll probably get an autograph or something for him.
But other than that, you're very professional.
Absolutely. Other than the autograph hunting, I'm very, very professional, yeah.
Music Weekly.
At Glastonbury.
From The Guardian.
So, team, what are we all going out to see later today? Tim, what are you going to see?
Later today, last year I tried to go and see LaRue and couldn't get anywhere near.
You couldn't get anywhere near. All you could hear was this like incredibly off-key vocal.
I heard a very sweet vocal.
You must have been at the wrong tent then, because she was honking like a goose when I went past, frankly.
Well, anyway, that's what I was. I might go see her. It's kind of being in charge of the website and stuff. I'm kind of trapped, as in I can't stray very far. So,
yes,
so
that's true.
I can't do too many things that are that exciting, but Flaming Lips I hope to see, and maybe Mos Def if I get a chance.
That would be very cool. I'd like to go and see the XX. I think if it's going to be a hot night, there's something about hot weather that potentiates the music and the sort of sexy undercurrent of what the XX do. And I don't know, I just think it would be really lovely. I think it's kind of atmospheric, calm. You know, it's not the sort of thing you think of as a big old Glastonbury headlining thing with fireworks. And I mean, they may have fireworks, they may, you know. Lead singer might be sort of
pretty weird if they did.
It would be incredible, wouldn't it, if they came on stage in a spaceship and they were lowered like ELO, and one of them flew about with a saxophone while the others did Madness's Nutty Dance. That'd be.
I might go and see that.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, they've told me.
What about Snoop? Is that going to be awful?
I don't know. It could might go
be,
either way.
I think it'd be fun.
I could go. Yeah. What do you think?
I think the Pyramid say I've seen him play at Tea in the Park before, and he's kind of, he knows how to work a crowd in a way that a lot of, say, hip-hop acts who came to Glastonbury and were put on the Pyramid stage might not quite know about him. He seems quite clued up on how to start. It'll be more like a, I think it'd be more like a Dizzy set. You know how he knows how to make people jump up and down.
Dizzy, completely. I went to see Dizzy last year and I thought this isn't going to work at all, and it was brilliant and people went mental all the way through it.
He's got, I believe the word is bonkers.
Bonkers, of course. Bonkers. Yeah, he's got all them tunes as well. That's the other thing. You know, you need a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. Snoop's got quite a lot of hits. It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Let's hope he does his hilarious ode to gang rape. Rosie.
It's certainly what the Glastonbury spirit's all about.
I'm going to head up to the Park stage. I'm going to watch Hypnotic Brass Ensemble because I've just never seen them before. And I think it might be something a little bit different. And they're immediately followed by Steve Mason, who I haven't seen do his new solo album, which I absolutely love. Uh-huh. And I'd very much like to see that.
I hope he plays his ode to gang rape.
Has he got one?
Haven't they all?
We should also point out there's supposed to be, while we're talking about the Park stage, secret performance on the Park stage, and the rumour is it's going to be Coldplay.
Yeah.
Which would be sort of amazing, just purely on the grounds of a band that big playing in a relatively small space. The enthusiasm that's seeping from you two.
I've told loads of people about this, and none of them are Coldplay fans. Straight away, they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's weird, isn't it?
Because, but part of me wonders whether it's like, oh, so Gorillaz got asked to step in for you two, did they? Okay, why don't we do a massive special set, Steal the Thunder on Friday? But I'm sure that they're not that bitchy. I've turned it into something negative. How horrible. What journey.
I know, that's really bad. That's typical. So bad. You just build them up to knock them down, don't you, Rosie?
Yes.
Okay, well, look, I expect a full report on my desk by this time tomorrow of all the bands that you've seen and that were amazing or not amazing. Thank you very much, Rosie.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Mentioning tomorrow, we will be back. We're here every day this weekend with our podcasts. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll be hearing from all manner of celebrities. We've got our own secret guests.
And...
No, it's not Coldplay.
Various interviews with people from the Glastonbury infrastructure, people who've been working at the festival for many years, you'd think would be easier to manage than a band interview. No.
Really? Are they really difficult?
Any other festival it might be.
Wow.
It'd be even harder once they hear this.
Will Gorillaz triumph? That's the question tomorrow. Or are Snoop Dogg and Dizzy Rascal going to be the ones to kick Glastonbury off in style? We'll be telling you how it all went down tomorrow. Don't forget, though, follow us on Twitter. Remember to tweet us your reviews too. Your opinion is every bit as important as ours. Guardian Music, that's the place. We'll be going through the best ones on the programme tomorrow. There is constant coverage on the site all weekend. You'll be... frankly sick to the back teeth of Glastonbury by Sunday. You'll be pleading for Alan McGee's blog. You'll be tearfully pleading for Alan McGee to write a blog about how the Beatles were amazing. So yeah, all your reviews, pictures, videos, the festival too, they'll all be up at guardian.co.uk/Glastonbury. Back to that live track we're talking about. That's what we're going to leave you with. It's Steve Mason. He's playing the Park stage here at 4:30 today. This track is Boys Outside. I'll see you tomorrow, Sensation Seekers.
And I try to love. turn it around. And those were the days that no one misses. Postcards sent, signed, sealed with kisses. This is the man who took your life. He fed, he clothed, he even gave you a wife. Boys outside, noise outside, boys outside. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. Now count the stress on just one finger. Sadness, despair, the joy, pull the trigger. I thought you were my only friend. And that's not true, I know now at the end. Some darker part will always love you. Don't send me no note, 'cause I'll make sure it won't get through. This is the man who took your life. He never fed or clothed, he never gave you a wife. Boys outside, noise outside, boys outside. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. I was with those boys who turned you around, showed you yourself, and then we knocked you down. And if you come outside with us, I'll show you why. Because the things I've seen in my life make you cry. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. Noise outside, boys outside, noise outside. Boys outside, noise outside, boys outside. Boys outside, noise outside, boys outside.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.